Welcome to the Rams Writer Podcast.
Tight angle, cross to Pearson. Pearson scores! Stephen Pearson scores for Derby County!
From Wisdom. He's round! By Cashin. Goal! Well, well! Back post. Forsyth heads on goal. It's looping. It's in! Derby has scored! It's Craig Forsyth with a looping header at the back post. Sibley shoots across. Goal! Yes! He scored! Lewis Sibley in the 90th minute! The goal we wanted has come!
Hello and welcome back. It's been a long while to the Rams Writer Podcast with me, your host Simon Long, and Chris Holt back from his loan spell at Rams Review Podcast. Chris, good evening, my friend. How are you doing?
Hello, stranger. How are you?
I'm very well. I'm very well, thank you. First of all, just before we continue, I do want to say, actually, I know a lot of you message either me or Chris personally asking how I was. Chris did pass those messages on. So, yeah, thank you very much for that. I'm fine. Doing all right. I just needed a bit of a break from doing this. But Chris has been twisting my arm and bending my ear and all sorts to get me back on. And he kept himself busy, didn't he? Yeah, I said, he said to me, look, I don't want to ruin anything, but I want to carry on podcasting. Jemiah, go Rams Review. Obviously, Rams Review, good friends of ours, have been on the show. We've been on their show, not a problem. But we're back now. We're back as a duo. And also, I just want to say as well. So at the end of the year, people on Spotify Wrapped comes out, and I did notice. I don't know if you noticed, Chris, but I did notice a lot of people had our podcast as their second favorite. Only behind the Rams Daily podcast that BBC Radio Derby do. So I'm going to take that as a win. I'm taking that as a win, and we will continue to sort of push forward with this. So I'm happy about that. I'm glad to be back, Chris. Are you?
Mate, I missed you. I've had a great time doing some pods with Jason, Corey, Jack and the crew. And it's been an absolute pleasure being on loan to them. But yes, I do enjoy your satire and wit, Simon, and you definitely get the best out of me. My nights haven't been the same without you. I could have gone out there and, found myself a hobby, knitting or yoga or something, but no, I just waited patiently, just kept on, waiting for that call, and here it is. Here we are. Let's go.
What one thing I will say, actually, is happy birthday, Chris, from this Friday, wasn't it? Or Saturday?
It was Saturday.
It was Saturday. I thought it was. Yeah, happy birthday for Saturday. You did mention it when we were on Radio Derby, and I totally forgot.
I did.
My memory is awful.
I did. And I take it that the present hasn't been left in my blue wheelie bin.
It's with Every or Herms, whatever they're called now, so you might not get it, it's one of them. We know how good their delivery is.
Well, thank you for the thought. It was a wonderful present.
You're welcome, mate. You're welcome. I need to get my money back now. So yeah, anyway, we're back. The show then, we are sort of going to adapt it a little bit. We are going to do a little bit of structure to it. So we're going to start off every show with just a review of the last game. We're then going to go into the Rams weekly quiz. So how well were you watching? How observant were you at the weekend's game? And then we'll go on to the chat, the news, gossip, all that malarkey. Within that, the questions and answers. And then we'll finish the show with the answers to the quiz. But also as well, Chris, I did speech about it. I'm tempted, very tempted to do a preview show on a Thursday night on YouTube. So it would literally just be solely on YouTube, just me and Chris having a chat. So if you guys are interested in us doing that and you will watch that, let us know when we post this if you're interested, and we'll do it. And then at some point we might go live on there as well and get you guys involved. Happy days. So anyway, on to the show. Derby County 2, Charlton 0. Chris, a win after a loss and a draw. A lot better performance, a change in formation, back to the 4-2-3-1 or 4-3-3. How did you think that was compared to the last two games?
It was playing one of those teams that's in the middle echelon of League One. So teams between sort of 9th and I could say 15th. Charlton are one of those bang slap in the middle. You just don't know what you're going to get when they come to your ground. They came, they flattered, they had more possession. They actually passed the ball 100 odd times more than us. But realistically, I didn't think they could really put up and cope with our quick transition of football. Doesn't surprise me playing a team that sort of got nothing really to play for this time of the season. The mid-table, their stats are pretty mid-table. 1-10, drawn 10, lost 11. You know what I mean? So there's middle of the road as you're going to get.
Yeah.
So I think they tried to pull up a few trees, and I think we did look nervous some elements of the game. But I think tactically, Mr. Warne got it right to get the win.
Yeah, it's interesting you say that, because I think if you look at going back to sort of the Morecambe game, we played like a 4-4-2, McGoldrick and Collins up top. And we had the discussion on Radio Derby with Ed about would he change it for Wickham? And you thought he might do. You thought he might go back to the one up top, but he didn't. He stuck with a 4-4-2. It didn't really go to plan.
No.
Although, let's think about it. The first goal of theirs was us not being organised from our own corner. They broke from our own corner, which didn't get back. And even the second goal, with Derby pretty much was starting to get on top after they equalised. And the ball falls to Jason Knight. He's 35 yards from goal, not a defender anywhere near him. And he decides to take a shot. And then they break up the other side, win a corner and score from it. But it is where it is. It's happened. I think I'm glad we went back to 4-3-3. But it just, for me, just goes to show that I think we sort of maybe may have missed Max Bird in those couple of games. I think I've got to eat a bit of humble pie now. Saying that, not much, because I did say he has improved. But to begin with, I was sort of questioning, what does Max Bird bring? You know, especially at the start of the season, what does he bring? And ultimately, he shows, I think he does actually bring a bit of creativity. He allows the likes of Conor Horahan to get forward, Jason Knight to get forward, which in turn gets the best out of, especially Horahan. He looks a lot better playing a bit further forward. And you know, anywhere in and around the box, Horahan on that left foot, we've got a chance of scoring. So I think, you know, going to the 4-4-2 against Morecambe, yes, it did work, but what they are a very poor side. But yeah, going back to the four, I don't know if I'm going to say it's a 4-3-3 with one holder, Knight and Horahan. Horahan pretty much stays forward. Knight bobs up and down. Horahan, it's a difficult one, but it's one up top. Let's call it one up top. McGoldrick, who Chris said would never be a number nine, is playing number nine. Which, you know.
Sorry, Simon. I didn't quite hear that. The reception's terrible.
Oh, of course it was.
Say something about McGoldrick playing number nine.
Yeah, you said he's not a number nine. Yeah, he's been playing there. And he's, to be honest, actually, he's key to our squad. Put some of his touches recently. Well, if he's on form, his touches are brilliant and he's spinning round and, you know, he's laying off the ball, doing all sorts. But the last couple of games, that's just sort of not working for him. But then he produces a moment of magic out of nowhere. It's weird. But I'd rather have him in the team than not in the team.
Do you think that's his aging legs, though?
Possibly, yeah. I think, or it could be one of the things where he's got confidence from doing it against poorer teams, but when the better sides come and do, because what I've sort of noticed now is the teams are putting two on him. If he's anywhere near the ball, he's got two, three defenders on him in a shot because they know he's our danger man. They know if he's got the ball, he's going to release the likes of Barkhouse and the likes of Mendes, Lang, Knight, Horahan. You know, so they've got to double up on him. But I think, you know, we've got to have him in the team. He'll score goals. You know, he scored again. Was that his 11th, 12th league goal of the season?
Who's that?
McGoldrick.
Yeah, isn't he on 16 for the season?
Yeah, yeah, he's got a few goals in the cup.
Including the cup.
Yeah, he's absolutely flying this season. I think he's doing better than I thought he'd be. I thought age, not played much recently, but he's proved me wrong. Mm. And it looks like he loves playing under, as let's admit it, as do the rest of the team. They all look like they're enjoying the football under Paul Warne.
Yeah, there's definitely fun out there on the pitch. I think the most important thing on Saturday was they got their belief back, and that early goal did them a world of good, because I think if they would have got to half-time, 0-0 or behind,
yeah,
I think we would have really, really seen how good a motivator and how good a manager Paul Warne is. But they did a job, and like I said, playing against teams that are between sort of 8th and 14th, shall we say, in the league, they do seem to have a struggle. They give shooings out for the bottom 5 or 6, which most people are. But if you look at the sort of positions between 8 to 14, you've got Shrewsbury, Peterborough, Portsmouth, Charlton, Port Vale, Exeter, Lincoln. By the beaters at their place, yeah, or beaters at our place, if you include Port Vale, or we've scraped a win just, or a very dull draw. They've never been a shoo-in either way. So when Charlton came to town, I was expecting a similar thing. But you know what? It's 4 points from two games. You know, we look at the draw that we got with Lincoln. Personally, I thought that we were lucky,
yeah,
to get the point. I thought Diamond looks a diamond, and that's the kind of guy I'd be looking at to see when his contract ends, because I really, really enjoyed his role for Lincoln, and I felt so sorry for him when they, well, I shouldn't say that as a Derby fan, but when they went down to 10 men.
He was out of the game after that.
He was out of the game, wasn't he? And then Plange came on, did absolutely nothing. So I don't know what on earth actually Luke Plange's job was to do the last 10 or 15 minutes.
I read somewhere on Facebook that apparently Plan said to Forsyth he really doesn't want to play. So,
wow.
And fair play to him. He didn't look like he wanted to play. He didn't do anything. But yeah, no, Diamond, he caused Cashin problems all game. And
yes.
You know, and that's something that Cashin, it will be good for his development. You know, he got man of the match on Saturday, got his first goal at Pride Park, you know, and he was, he has deserved it. His performances this season, that's all he's really been lacking, is a goal from a set piece, you know, getting his head on things. He's had his head on a lot of things, just been able to find the target. And that was some header, you know, that it was a bit of a diving header. We'll ignore the fact that it took a big deflection off the Charlton player's back, but you know, great goal and great passion and another great performance from the young man. He's definitely one of those I'm worried about losing come the summer. Yeah.
Well, that's all about ambition, isn't it?
Yeah.
From both Derby County, yeah, and from Erin Cashin.
Because he did say, there was an interview where he did say, you know, he'd run through brick walls for this club. But, you know, if a big club comes sniffing, we all know, you know, we know what footballers says, but what football players say and what do they actually mean? So
I think the other thing is as well, Simon, is that it's one of those entities where you don't know what league we're going to be in. We know which league we'd like to be in, yeah, but also how do you honestly value a young, up-and-coming, early 20s player with little experience in the current market? Because let's be honest, the current market's been decimated by COVID anyway.
Yeah, true.
So I think that Derby would be very, very crude to sell him anyway, to be honest, because I think you could not replace him. I still think he has an Achilles heel, which is his pace. I think Diamond found him out two or three times. I think he got found out a little bit at Wickham as well. And I just want to say that I gladly will turn around and put my hand up and say, and I'm now would like to be the chair of the Craig Forsyth Fozzy Appreciation Society, because I think without Fozzy, I think Erin Cashin wouldn't be having the performances he's having now. I noticed that another podcast gentleman posted something on Twitter that said that Owen Cashin is the best defender in League One, centre half in League One. I disagree. I think the best centre half in League One that we've seen at the moment is Craig Forsyth.
Yeah.
And, you know, Owen Cashin clearly has the career ahead of him, and Craig Forsyth is you know, in its heyday, but he's having a renaissance, isn't he?
Yeah.
And long may the renaissance continue. So I think people need to remember when they are praising Owen Cashin that a lot of the work that is done to the side of him allows Owen Cashin to be Owen Cashin, and that was all thanks to Mr. Craig Forsyth and probably Curtis Davis, who's probably clearly going to have more of a senior role at the club and probably doing a bit of coaching on the sideline. But yeah, so yeah, if we're going to praise Owen Cashin, let's praise Fozzie as well.
Definitely. So that sums up the Charlton game pretty much. A good performance, I think, all round. Looked a lot better. Just need to, I think, just cut out the sloppy passes every now and again that we keep creeping in. But hopefully now we've had a loss after, was it 15, 16 game unbeaten run. Now we're 2 unbeaten again. So long may it continue into the end of the season, I think. So anyway, then, new section. We'll move on. Now, Chris, this is for the audience, but don't answer the questions now.
Okay.
But we'll come back to the end of the show, but I'm going to give you a question. So this is, how observant were you guys at the Charlton game? So all these questions, I have 4 questions, and then I'm going to play a piece of commentary, which isn't from the game. It's from it could be a random game. So it'd be a random game. There'll be a goal, and you've got to tell me which goal it is. But we'll do the questions now and then the answer at the end of the show. So Harvey White made his first start for Derby. What number was on his shirt? Let you think about it. Second question. Derby were awarded a penalty, but whose shot was handballed that conceded that penalty? Chris, I can see your mind ticking over there. Here's one. There was 4 yellow cards in the game. Only 1 for Derby County. But who was booked for Derby? Thinking, aren't you? I'm thinking. Final question. Erin Cashin scored his first goal at Pride Park. But who did he score his first professional league goal against? Some of you might remember that. And finally, what we're going to do now is we are going to do a little bit of a commentary quiz. So what I'm going to do is basically I'm going to play a piece of commentary, which is going to be a goal. We're going to play a bit of commentary, and what I want you to do is try and guess which goal or what game this goal was from. You ready, Chris?
I'm ready.
Here we go.
Going all the way through to Johnston. Oh, it's a back pedaling. Chats, open goal. Kazim, goal! Kazim from 20 yards! Absolute howler!
So that was friend of the show, Ed Dawes, there, sharing, with a bit of commentary there. But now we know it was Colin Kazim Richards that scored, but who was he scoring against? Now, and a bonus point if you can remember the score of the game. So, anyway, that was nice and brief little quiz there. So, we will reveal the answers at the end of the show. Now, we go into the news, the chat, and the gossip section. First of all, we're going to start a little bit of chat, and this is going to be about, I've just mentioned him there, Harvey White. Chris, Harvey White made his first start. I'm going to be honest, I'm not like these people that think they know everything because they've seen a few YouTube clips of him. I know nothing about him, absolutely diddly squat about him. But for me to come in to a game like that, make your first home start, bearing in mind he's only had a couple of appearances off the bench, and settle in the way he did. Now, I mentioned Max Bird earlier on. How do you think his performance was? Because I thought he was an absolute treat. His range of passing is ridiculous. He can play short, he can play long diagonals. He seems, for a young age, he can have shots. He rattled the bar. Oh, that was in the first half. I thought I literally was stood up about ready to cheer that because I thought I was going in. What do you make of his performance?
Cultured. Accomplished. Yeah, this is a guy that's come from a very, very, very good academy structure and will be training on a regular basis with world-class Premier League players. Natural left footer, another one. And he plays against or alongside a natural left footer. So it's quite an interesting cocktail of a midfield is those two. I like what I've seen. I think he'll be up for a bigger test this weekend coming against a team that's in form that hasn't been beaten since we splattered them 3-0 in the FA Cup, which obviously we'll get onto later in the week. I'm not quite going to the upper echelons of. I think someone on Twitter compared him. I think it was on another podcast. Compared him to Leon Osman, which no, I'm not having. Leon Osman, when he came to Derby on loan, was a messiah. He did save us from getting relegated, no question. And Leon Osman is a wonderful footballer, but they're two different types of player.
Yeah,
Leon Osman was an absolute ratter of a player.
He was a workhorse.
Yeah, complete workhorse, complete ratter. And ratter is a polite way of saying it. He basically got around everywhere like a terrier and just mixed it up. But he could play football when he wanted to. Harvey White, you're not going to get that from him. Like you said, Simon, he's got a passing range, which is someone who is quickly fit into the system.
Yeah.
And I think clearly the scouting was done on him by somebody who looked at the peg that had been taken out because of Max's injury, and the peg that's been put in to replace him fits. It's not a different shape. It's not a different size. It fits quite well. And fair play to whoever saw him at that academy level and thought Harvey White, although they may have seen him, he was on loan last year, wasn't he? With someone, I can't remember who he was on loan with. He has played at a league club. I think he played somewhere. I can't remember exactly where it was. And someone will probably tweet and put below a comment, or you can go on your Google now, Simon.
It's all about the Google.
Whilst I'm waffling about Harvey, but no, he has got a range. One thing I will say about him is that, again, this is a guy that's coming in front of a back four that's very confident. So when you've got the likes of Corey Smith and Fozzy and Cashin behind you, and whoever they decide to play at left back, whether it be Sibley, Roberts, or another, it gives him a little bit of a free roll to relax and play his football, which he likes to play. The other thing that is allowed to happen, Simon, is it's allowed good old Jason Knight to go back where he belongs, which is playing that 10 role and having that freedom of the final third, because I think we sorely missed that against Wickham and we sorely missed that against Lincoln.
Yeah. Portsmouth was the answer.
Portsmouth. I knew he'd been somewhere.
That was 2021. He went to Portsmouth.
Yeah, I knew he'd been somewhere. So he has got experience. But yeah, long may it continue. And like I said, I've said to people previously, Simon, you stand him next to Louis Sibley. Well, I said it to Ed Dawes, didn't I, in the studio?
Yeah, you did.
They're remarkably alike.
Yeah.
Unbelievably remarkably alike. So, long may it continue, Harvey. You know, you've got my approval, absolutely.
Just on that, Mark Coote, avid listener, fan of the show. He wrote a question. He says, "Great to have you two back. Really missed the show." Thank you, Mark. I've missed doing it. Question: if White continues to play as well as he did last match, does Bird have to fight to get back in, or does he go straight back in, giving Bird a great form before his injury? Well, this is it, isn't it? It's competition for places. I'm sure that's what Paul Warne would want. I think it's going to be difficult. I think Paul Warne, he likes to have a standard 11 that he knows he can just go, right, same again next week, same again next week, same again next week. So, you know, I mean, Max Bird, what's he out for? Was it 6 to 8 weeks?
6 to 8 weeks.
You know, why? I thought we might see Rooney go to right back and Smith go into midfield. I did not expect, you know, but I think Smith's doing such a good job at right back. Again, it goes with Warne's likes to have a consistent team. I was quite surprised that Sibley came back in for Hayden Roberts. But it's going to be an interesting one because Max Bird was in good form. But if Harvey White can keep us ticking over like Bird does, then Bird's got to really, really step up. You know, just think, you know, we've seen that Harvey White's got a, he's got a decent left foot on him.
Yes.
If he can pitch in with some goals, then I think he stays in the team.
What I will say is that this sounds really crass, but I'll say it anyway. Max Bird's injury came at the right time in the sense that we had the transfer window still open.
Yeah.
I think if that Max Bird injury would have come into the current climate, i.e. in February, I think it would have been more difficult to change the pegs around and the jigsaw. So I think if we were going to get an injury to him, it happened at
perfect
time, the most really. Yeah, the most fortunate time to get Harvey White. I just wonder whether, I'll get back to the question that was put in a second. I just wonder if Harvey White was on the radar anyway.
Yeah, potentially.
That'd be my question. I'd love to ask Paul Warren that. So, Paul, yeah. You know, whether Max Bird got injured or not, was Harvey White a player that you were looking at to bring in? Paul Warren's always said that people who avert the shirt stay in the shirt. I'm not convinced of that statement when it comes to Max Bird, because he's openly had a Max Bird love-a-thon over the radio, hasn't he? And clearly has said that he is his favourite player.
Yeah, but saying that, he had a bit of a love-a-thon with James Collins.
Not as much of a love-a-thon to Max Bird, though. I'm trying to think what he said, but he said something to the lines of, you know, I would love to be Max Bird, wasn't it? He was absolutely smitten by him.
I'm a bit, just coming off that, onto James Collins, I had a conversation with a good friend of the show, Salam Hafez. You know, he obviously, for those of you who don't remember, Salam did a lot of the Sheikh Khaled takeover stuff. You know, he's out there working in Dubai, gave a lot of information. Great, you know, good, big Derby supporter as well. But he was getting really frustrated with James Collins, saying he doesn't know what he's bringing. He chases a lot, but at the end of the day, he doesn't create. He can't hold the ball up, struggles to hold the ball up, can't play in a one up top. He just... And I have to agree with him. Sadly, I do. You know, I think, I thought when we signed him, I thought, good player there, we'll score goals for fun. He seems like he's struggling. For me, I thought we'd look to get another striker in, but again, obviously freebies and, you know, the only one I thought when Chris Martin became available, not going to lie, those who have listened to the show for years now will know how much I loved Chris Martin.
Scored on his debut.
This is what I mean. I would have had him back in an absolute heartbeat. I don't care. Everyone can go, get over it. You know what? Leave the past in the past. No, Chris Martin, he was always my favourite player. You know, for the 5-6 years he was here, was always my favourite player. I like that in a striker. I don't mind, you know, if you're going to get a striker that's going to hold the ball up, I loved watching him play. His little flicks and tricks, and then the way he scored goals, he could score tap-ins, he could score long-range efforts, headers, left foot, right foot. For me, he was a great striker at championship level. And McGoldrick is a similar type of player, very similar type of player. But Collins, for me, I don't know. You know, you just, I'm not sure about him. I don't know what you think, Chris, but I'm just not sure.
See,
this is another thing as well. With this podcast back, you know me, I'm not scared to say my opinion, even if it's a so-called negative one. I will say it as I feel.
You do. Well, look, he's played 27 times for Derby and he's scored 9 goals. So it's 1 in 3.
Mm.
Now, it's not prolific.
No.
But it's still 1 in 3.
He seems to go through purple patches, though.
He does, but if you look throughout his career, and he's been to a lot of clubs. I didn't realize he had played for so many clubs actually, but it's incredible. This will find you staggering. So at the moment, he's 1 goal in 3 games for Derby County, 27 and 9. Okay, so At Shrewsbury Town, he played 66 times. How many goals do you think he scored?
21.
22.
Oh,
divide
bad
22 into, correct. Okay. Swindon, he played 45 times for. Guess how many goals he scored?
Oh, I can't do the maths here. 15.
Correct. He scored 15 goals. Can you see the cycle? Luton Town, he played 174 times.
Oh, gosh. I have to get my calculator out of this. I'm running out of toes and fingers.
Well, it's not
quite. I'm going to go about 60 goals.
68. It's around, give or take, it's 1 in 3-ish.
210s would be 1 in 3. No, it's more than 1 in 3, that is.
It's a bit more than 1 in 3. But what I'm saying is it's 2.5, nearly 3. And I'll choose one more out of the hat, just looking at it here, because I think this is a fascinating stat. He played at Burton Albion. He played 10 games at Burton Albion and scored 4, which is 1 every 2.5. And Northampton Town, he played 21 times for and scored 8. Basically, what I'm saying is he's a 1 in 3 striker all his career. So if people are disappointed with his goal-scoring tally, I'm going to say, well, his career tells you that even when he was prolific at Shrewsbury and Luton, he was still only 1 every 2.5 to 3 games. So what are we wanting? What are we expecting from him?
I knew you were going to say that.
Well,
I don't know. I don't know. He can't play on top on his own. And that's obviously the route that Paul Warren's going. You know, he's one of them players. He needs we need to get balls into the box. And he's one of them. He's a poacher. For me, he's a poacher more than anything. You know, he'll look to get on scraps. And, you know, you look at the goals he scored this for us, you know, Port Vale one's case in point, you know, ball bounces out to your box and smashes it in. You know, I can't remember the rest off the top of my head. But he's that sort of player that he needs a scruffy goal. You know, he's not going to, do you know what I mean? And for me, I just want him to create a bit more. With McGoldrick, he could, you know, McGoldrick, you know, if you've got the ball at his feet, he can create. You're going to do assists now, aren't you? I'm telling you now.
I'm not. You've mentioned a name which was just coming to my second point of view. You carry on, Simon, and I'll jump in. So, David McGoldrick.
Here we go.
So you say he plays as a number 9.
No, yeah. I know you've always said he's playing as a 10, but he's playing as a 9 now for us.
Right then. A quick quiz for you, Simon, because you've gave me some questions. He played 64 times for Southampton. How many goals did he score?
About 21.
Only 12.
Oh.
He played 63 times for Forest. How many goals did he score?
10.
He only scored 8.
Oh, it's close.
He played for Ipswich 146 times.
Ooh.
How many goals?
Did he play with Darren Bent?
He did. No, Darren Bent. Ooh, no, he could have. Yes, he could have briefly.
So I'm going, because Darren Bent was prolific at Ipswich and Charlton.
144 times.
I'm going to go 30 goals.
He only scored 40.
Ooh.
Sheffield United, where he made his name. Let's be honest, he had a fantastic time there. 127 appearances, how many goals?
42.
Only scored 27.
What?
Yep. His two most prolific stints ever was at Coventry on loan in 2012, where he scored 16 in 22, and good old Derby County, where he's played 25 times and scored 13. What I'm trying to say is that I wasn't expecting McGoldrick to score 1 in under 2 games at Derby County. But again, people are saying that what they're wanting more from James Collings, but he's delivering exactly what his career has delivered for the last 15 years. McGoldrick is delivering one of those rare Renaissance seasons that we all wish for, and long may it continue, that he's scoring, you know, a goal every other game. And, you know, he's only ever done that once before in his career. Mm. So this is rare for McGoldrick. So what I'm trying to say is we're still getting goals. Well, they're not prolific, but we have to expect, honestly, what is given is there in black and white. So fundamentally, it's...
Oh, yeah. But my only fear is because McGoldrick seems to get... It's rare you see him play more than three or four games on the bounce without him getting a little knock. And my only fear is that can Collins do the same job as him? I feel he's... For me, Collins is a... To name a player, Jack Marriott type player. Put it on a plate for him, he'll finish it. That's my point, is the fact that he doesn't offer much else. He will chase people down. The press is good, fair enough. But when he's playing up top on his own, he looks isolated. His touch isn't great. And that, for me, is my, you know, and he doesn't bring everybody into play. And that's my only fear. Obviously, you talk about promotion going up automatically. I was very, very optimistic on Radio. Shut up, Chris. Don't pull that face. Very optimistic
on
Radio
Derby.
That face
has been pulled about me. Yeah, go on.
I was very optimistic on Radio Derby. And I said we should be going 1-2, us and Sheffield Wednesday.
Yes.
Obviously, we had the knockback with Wickham, but I'm not being funny. We were never going to win every single game. As much as I said we probably should do, we are good enough to, we were never going to win every single game from now until the end of the season. For me, the automatic promotion push isn't off. What are we, 8 points? Is it 8 points behind? Yeah. But we've got a game in hand.
We have to win that to be 8 points.
We've got to win it. We've got to play Plymouth. We've got to play Sheffield Wednesday. Yes. The season's far from over.
And Ipswich.
But my only fear is, if McGoldrick isn't fit, does he change the system to go two up top so it helps Collins? Or does Collins need to adapt? That's my only worry.
I said to you in the Radio Derby studio, and you disagreed with me, that at Wickham, we needed to adapt against what we're playing.
I didn't disagree. I said, this is turning into White and Jordan. This is Talksport. I know. I didn't disagree with you. I said, I don't think Warne will change his system. If it's not fixed, if it's not broke, don't fix it. That's what I said. I said he'd stick with a 4-4-2, and he did. Was it the right choice? In hindsight, no. But in fairness, he did change to the one up top in the second half, and we did look better. And we probably should have won that game if it wasn't for a deflection and some poor defending. Do you know what? That goal, do you know that defending? Third goal.
God.
That reminded me of Wembley.
Oh God.
It just so soft in the Wembley corner. It was poor, wasn't it?
I have no idea what he was doing, and let's not go back there, because I just remember looking at my dad, and he looked at me, and we had no idea, because he surely wasn't shepherding the ball out.
No,
he surely didn't think that he had covered the angle to block it. No. It was just ludicrous. But hey, let's go on. So
anyway, back to the question.
Back to the question.
Does Harvey White continues to play the way as he did,
Bird in.
You're saying Burden.
What are you saying?
I don't know. Oh, one of us is going to be right, one of us is going to be wrong, isn't it? I'm going to go. I'd say keep Harvey White in. If he plays well.
Yeah.
If he plays well and continues, and he potentially creates a couple of goals, scores a couple of goals, I think he stays in.
Really? So you're going on what Paul Warne says about if you're playing well in the shirt, you keep it.
Yeah.
I think he'll go against that, because Max Bird was the pinnacle of the unbeaten run. He was the catalyst.
Yeah, I get that. But if you've got a player that comes in and is doing exactly the same thing.
Correct. Ah, there you go. If you beat Barnsley and then you go on another run with Harvey and the team, absolutely, I will eat humble pie and say yes. But if it was based on inconsistency of win, draw, lose, win, draw, I think it's all about the next three or four. I think if Derby win the next three games back-to-back, he keeps his place. I think if they drop points on any of those three.
What we've got? We've got Barnsley, Cheltenham, Shrewsbury.
Mm.
That's three games. We win them three. Who's next? I know who's next to you.
What next?
Next. After obviously, we've got Barnsley, Cheltenham and Shrewsbury.
Yeah.
Who's after that? Don't look at your phone.
Plymouth.
Oh, all right. Yeah, okay. Plymouth is a big... That's a massive game.
It is. So telly.
Will Max be back for that? I don't think he will.
Yeah, I think he will. Did they say 6 to 8 weeks? I don't think you'd be far off.
Mm. So yeah, anyway, we'll move on because we have another question and it goes into the next thing I was going to talk about because we have news.
Good question. Good question,
yeah,
Marlon.
Very good question, Mark. Very good. Cheers for that. So yeah, this comes on to the news. I feel like I'm on top year now. Now the news. Right, anyway. So John Milhouse, he says, Warner's been achieving great things on the pitch, but off the pitch, Klaus really seems to be making great improvements. The new outside bar at the South Stand is certainly making it easier to get a drink. But what are your guys' thoughts on the new head of recruitment? So, new head of recruitment today, then, has been announced. Derby have appointed Oxford United's Mark Thomas as the new club's new head of recruitment. Thomas leaves them after 9 seasons in the job. He becomes latest in a number of key backroom changes since David Klaus took over in the summer. Now, this has been something that's been up for grabs since October, I believe, isn't it? Now, I don't know a great deal about Mark Thomas. I know you'd love to have seen Darren Robinson as head of recruitment. But I mean, the only thing, I think Mark Thomas, I think he scouted and recruited Kemar Roofe.
Yep.
And who's obviously now at Rangers, obviously made his name really at Leeds.
Yep.
And Rob Dickey, who's now, is it QPR?
Mm.
So there's a couple of names there. But I mean, I think I agree with what John said. I mean, we have obviously recruited a few new scouts and things like that as well, which was very well needed. And if you look at obviously the Harvey White transfer, that's our scouting network being used to being put to good use there, really. You know, so it's, yeah, we need a head of recruitment. He obviously takes over the job of Harry, whatever his name. Oh, no, not, it was, was it Rower? No, McLaren, Joe McLaren, weren't it?
It was Joe McLaren.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So it's going to be on Twitter, he has.
Eh?
He's blocked me on Twitter.
Oh, you've fallen out of him. Oh, God,
I'm devastated.
Oh, bless you. Is that another one I've ruined since you've come on here?
Many.
Yeah. I guess it's one of them. We can't really see what he does until the summer. It's hard to judge, isn't it, really? Let's be honest. We've got someone in now. He's obviously got experience. I don't think he's going to be someone that just watches the championship and matches a day and goes, yeah, he'll do. I don't think he's going to be someone who go, I think we should sign Mbappe like one of our former scouts did. You know, he's got experience. That's the end of the day. I think summer's going to be the test. I believe actually Trevor Birch was at the game on Saturday. It was Trevor Birch. And he was
in the South Stand.
Was he really?
No.
Oh, I'm going to say. Matt, you've done me there. Absolutely hook, line.
You plumb me all sometimes.
Absolute, what a knob. Oh my gosh. Yeah. Apparently he was quite happy with how the fans behaved, etc. and all that. And all that sort of stuff. So fingers crossed, come summer, there might be a little bit of movement on the transfer restrictions, etc.
Yeah, I'm not saying this is gospel, but I was told that it was a half-term sort of inspection after the transfer window closed. And
I had a feeling it might be, because you don't just rock up for, you know what I mean? For no
very
reason.
Coincidental, early mid-February, just after transfer window is closed.
Yeah.
Yep, going back to the recruitment, gentlemen, it's been Oxford 9 years. Time will tell if he's done a good job at Oxford. Clearly, Paul Warren's interviewed him, and Paul Warren likes him. Paul Warren and Carl Robinson are good friends, as you know, from the podcast that they did with the BBC. And I think Richie Barker worked with Carl Robinson at Milton Keynes. So I think if they're looking for a good reference, I think Mr. Robinson's going to give him a very good one. I think when it comes to recruitment, a good recruitment director or scouting director, whatever you want to call them, to me, shouldn't be in the office a lot. No, we should be hoping. Correct. You would hope that he's out there watching someone in the Bulgarian second division that's going to cost us 6 goats, 2 pounds of milk, and some grapes.
And a packet of custard cream.
Exactly. Exactly. Because that's where you make your money, watching the absolute nasty Bulgarians. Any Bulgarians listening, I'm sure that the third division in Bulgaria is wonderful. I don't know.
It is an interesting one, because we've seen it with Jozvik, haven't we? You know, he was well thought of at Lech Poznan and came to Derby, and it just didn't happen for him at all.
Correct. But you look at the other hand, you look at Leicester City, you look at Brentford. Brentford have got an incredible scouting system in Scandinavia. And then you look at Leicester City and you look at someone called, is it Riyad Mahrez, who was playing for Le Havre in the French Liga 2?
Who was Kante playing for?
Oh, and God, Kante. He was cheap as well.
That's what I mean. Oh,
that's got to be a... Go on, you can Google that one whilst I'm waffling. But Mahrez, I believe, was 400 grand from Le Havre. I'm sure it was 400 grand, something ludicrous.
Wow.
You look at all these players that...
You look at Brentford, you look at likes of Mbeumo and all them sort of players. That's off the top of my head. It was the one... I can't remember his name now. Tony.
Ivan Tony.
Yeah.
Look at Ollie Watkins.
That's what I was thinking of, Ollie Watkins.
Yeah,
not extra. Tony.
But you look at the lad from Chesterfield who's just gone to Peterborough. I believe he's gone to. I'm not going to pronounce his surname before anyone asks, because it's a difficult one. I just feel, and this is probably controversial, because I know that people think that we should be looking in League One and League Two and non-league. I will say, hands up, I'd love to see the guy who plays up top from Lincoln at Derby, Diamond. I think he looked absolute class. But I think it'll cost a few quid. I would love to see a scouting system which covers Europe, which covers America, because there's some very good up-and-coming talent coming through North America, Canada. There's some talent coming through in Australia. You know, you watch some of the youth championships and you watch some of the under-21 games around the world, and there's extreme talent. And clubs are picking these people up, and I think that a recruitment director needs to get together some form of system that covers all four corners of the globe.
But you know what the mad thing was? A couple of seasons ago, I was told by two different sources, if you want to call them that, two different people, that we were interested in Paul Mullen. Do you know the guy who's at Wrexham banging
yes.
in 60-odd goals in about yes. 50-odd games? We were interested in him, but someone thought he wouldn't be good enough.
Well, you do know that Nigel Clough tried to sign Jamie Vardy.
That's what I mean. But in fairness, I think Cloughy had an okay scouting network.
He had an eye for a good player, Nigel.
Look at that team that Clough built that McLaren took on.
Incredible.
He's got an eye for a player. He just couldn't get him playing. Well, he was almost there. But yeah, Paul Mullen would have been an absolute dream. I think at the time he'd just finished the season as Cambridge's top scorer before he went to Wrexham. But yeah, we were interested in him. And was it Cambridge we went from? I'm sure it was.
What I will say, and this is...
Oh, and N'Golo Kanté came from Ken, C-A-E-N, however you say it.
Okay. Ken. Someone pronounced that.
Yeah.
How much for?
Now you're asking.
It wasn't expensive, was it?
Free.
Was it? Oh, my word.
Free transferred.
Wow.
Oh, no, sorry. No, I'm lying. Five million.
5 mil. Okay. Well, on the flip side of the recruitment, here's the other argument of the recruitment director. He's been at a club for 9 years now that I don't know what Oxford's ambitions are. Is it still called the Kassam there? I can't remember if it's called that or not, the stadium there now. Well, they average around 8,000 to 10,000 fans, if I remember rightly. That they're not. Let's just say I don't know what their realities. I don't know what their ambition is. They're currently 17th.
But I remember though when we at the start of the season, well, obviously we did the preview for Oxford.
I was praising them. Yeah. I said, and they were the black horse.
Last season they were.
Were they
seventh last season? Did they
They missed out on the playoffs, didn't they? In the last, I think they did it too. They fell short, didn't they, in the last game or two?
Yeah.
And I thought that they would go on, but they clearly haven't. Mm. And again, I could turn around. People could say, well, their budget, Chris, is tight, and their expectations are mid table. Well, I could turn around and go Luton Town.
Yeah.
We could go around and go Brentford from 3 years ago. This level of expectation and budget. That's why you recruit a recruitment director with a history and reputation. And obviously they've seen something in Mark Thomas, which obviously has caught their eye to the point where they've offered him probably the best role potentially at Derby in the next 12 months, because he's got a free hit at the moment with a potential embargo still on. So, you know, whoever he brings in is going to be with his hands tied, but he may have a candy chest, Simon, in the summer or in 12 months' time. That's when we'll really see his worth. So, yeah, interesting one.
Yeah, definitely. More news. I don't know which we'll do first. In fact, you told me about this. I've not read it or seen it, but Birmingham City.
Yes.
Now, I know it's not quite Derby County, but it does sort of interlink, doesn't it?
Yes. Good old John Percy has wrote a story. They're basically being charged by the EFL for something to do with takeover irregularities. Because they had three or four failed takeovers, didn't they? Yeah. They're reporting that they probably think that it's more going to be thrown at the actual individuals rather than the club. But Birmingham, some reporters are saying that they could get up to a 9-point deduction. John Percy is saying that he believes that there'll be a heavy fine, which I find amusing to a club that's got no cash. Yeah. How do you fine a football club with no money?
Not exactly. And this is it. I mean, I never thought I'd be having this discussion, but a couple of people actually messaged me during the Man City situation where they're supposed to have breached over 103 financial fair play rules. How would they be treated, you know, in retrospect to how Derby were treated? Now, Derby got, was it 9 points in total for their dodgy bookkeeping, let's call it. You know, Manchester City have got 103 charges. Now, I know, obviously, we're the EFL. We're dealt with by the EFL. Man City are the Premier League. Surely you would think, I know they're technically two separate entities, but we're all doing the same thing. Surely it can't be one rule for one and one for the other. You know, they could just turn around and slap Man City a big £1 million, you know, plus fine. Well, yeah, they'll just laugh at that. Here you go.
But it's two different. It's two different governing bodies, though, isn't it, Simon?
I know, but this is what I'm saying. It's one of them things where, you know, football end of day is football. We're a club, I suppose, in the Championship trying to get to the Premier League. You know, we got essentially relegated because we tried too hard to get in the Premier League, had to break a few rules or bend a few rules. We got retrospectively punished because of that, 9 points. Obviously, 12 for administration. Yet Man City are a team that were in the Premier League, have bent the rules to win the Premier League and continue winning the Premier League. And, you know, surely, I know there's been extreme talk of them being kicked out of the Football League altogether, kicked out of the Premier League, you know, or mass point deduction. So it's going to take years. That is, I've heard it could take 2-3 years to sort
yeah,
out.
Easily. It wouldn't surprise me at all.
Because they've got to go through every single case individually, apparently.
Yeah, and also, apparently, there will also be individual clubs that will sue them as well if they don't get the response that they're hoping for. It's a mess, isn't it? The other interesting thing connected to that, and we're digressing slightly, is obviously they're now stopping the long-term contracts, like Chelsea giving 10-year contracts because they want to spread 90 million over 10 years. Isn't that what Derby County was
looking
for?
This amortization policy,
which I'm sure was it Kieran Maguire? Was that his claim to fame? That he created that amortization?
Mel Morris?
No. I'm sure the guy that does the podcast.
So Kieran Maguire has been on this show. He's not obviously invented it or anything, but with what Mel Morris did, amortization came into the frame, and it was a case of, right, well, it's not really against the rule. It's bending it slightly, but it is exactly the same thing. So, you know, Derby, you know, Mel Morris would say, you know, like I say, buy a player for, you know, 4 million on a 4 million deal. What would happen is they'd devalue that player by 1 million each year, which is standard practice. But what obviously Derby did was say, well, no, actually, we think even though he's got a year left on his contract, his value is worth 2 million for instance. And this is what Chelsea are doing. And so now they're stopping this. Or, well, what Chelsea really are doing are going, well, we're going to pay you 100 million, but what we'll do is we'll pay you 10 million over the 10 years.
Correct.
And honestly, someone needs to get a grip of football. Because we're going to see it with other clubs, smaller clubs. You know, Southend, they're in deep shit. You know, I've seen you post something about it, but they're in trouble. Mm. Birmingham, in trouble. Mm. I think it was you that said it to me when the Derby County thing during COVID, you know, and we went into administration. Mm. I think you said we won't be the first, but there's going to be a lot more.
Oh yeah, yeah. This will be a domino effect, because what's happening now is that the lower end clubs aren't getting fees for their players no more.
Mm.
They relied heavily on selling one of their star players for £1 million that would keep a League One, a League Two club and a non-league club going for 2 or 3 years. Now, all those players are leaving on next to nothing or freebies.
Yeah.
And what happens is that the sell-on clauses that they used to get, you know, 20%, 30%, et cetera, are no longer exist.
Yeah.
And What I will say is that I think there'll be a lot of Derby fans out there, Simon, that really don't care what happens to Birmingham City after the disgraceful behaviour and the songs that they were singing when our plight, you know, on the day of the march.
Yeah.
I thought the Birmingham fans, and if there's some listening to now, you know, I'm not ashamed to say it, I think you were an absolute disgrace.
It was.
And I'm not one of those who hopes that your club goes, because far from it. I want every club to survive, because without the 92 clubs, we wouldn't have a football league, would we? But what I will say is what comes around and all that, and be prepared for a bumpy ride. Staying on Birmingham City, going on some news, Christian Bielik got stretchered off with a very, very severe injury again. And what was it I was saying to you about racehorses, Simon? Mm. People wanting him back? And I said to you, didn't I?
Yeah.
He's a racehorse. He'll break down at some point.
You're right. And the thing is, it's one of them. Obviously, he's on loan. His wages have come off our books. You know, if his injury is that serious, Birmingham might send him back. All of a sudden, we've got an extra 30K a week to shell out on him.
Mm. Well, I just wonder whether there was a history of his injury, and the fact that he was adamant that he had to go there to get in the World Cup, whether there was some form of policy that Derby said, well, if he gets injured playing at that level, we ain't shelling out 30 grand a week for his recovery. Because you're quite right, Simon. We haven't got it.
No, I think
Poland can pay for it.
Yeah, well, yeah. As nice as it would have been, I think, to have him back, have him fit, he just cannot. He's made of glass.
Yeah, it's a racehorse, Simon. Mm. You. Everyone wants a Lamborghini. Mm. Everyone wants a TVR. But what they're both, what those
TVR?
Both...
No one wants a TVR. Right, Chris.
I'm showing my age. But those cars have the same reputation.
Yeah, yeah.
They're brilliant for a few weeks, and then when they do a service, they're just crap. And I know people are going to be saying, oh, he was unfortunate, blah, blah, blah. He's unlucky. Give him a break.
You're better off getting a Graham Shinney, i.e. a Toyota Igo.
A John Eustace.
Run and just keep going.
Yeah, get yourself a John Toyota Corolla Eustace all day long, or a Graham Mazda 626 Shinney.
That's a Ford. We're going on to cars here. What's going on?
I'm just saying that, you know, sometimes you've got to play Moneyball.
Yeah, yeah. No, it's he's a weekend car, isn't he, Beale?
He's a weekend car. You get out when the sun is shining and you put it away when it's January and the pitches are absolutely awful.
It's good to be back, Chris. It really is. Anyway, before you went on to Christian Beale, you did almost roll us nicely onto the last point in news. It did ring on quite nicely, but this headline broke. What day are we today? Monday. Yeah, so it was last Wednesday, I think it was. Chris Kirchner.
Oh, yeah.
Fraud charge for a man who tried to buy Derby County. It's shocking. A businessman who tried to buy Derby County has been charged with fraud in the US. Kirchner was close to taking over the club last summer, but was unable to provide required funds. I wonder why. Mm. Following an FBI. FBI.
Sorry, Simon, who was that? FBI?
FBI. Hang about. I better not say that too much because we all know they rig phones and computers and stuff. So we're going, hey, up someone's corners. if you're listening, my address is. Following an FBI raid at his home, the 35-year-old was charged with the wire fraud in Texas. And accused of misappropriating $20 million. Hey, was that might have been the $20 million he was trying to buy us with?
Yeah, funny that, because that was around the bid that he was offering, wasn't he?
Something around that.
£18 million up front, wasn't it? Something like that.
If convicted, he could face up to 20 years in prison.
Oh.
Now, I know, you know, anybody listening knows that Al Jazeera did a documentary on fraudulent football people trying to buy football clubs, and Mel Morris fell for it, hook, line, and sinker. Well, it appears Quantuma also almost fell for it, hook, line, and sinker. So imagine where this club would be right now.
Twice they fell for it.
Twice. I forgot. Yeah, rejected and came back in.
Yeah,
and this again just goes to show how massive it was. And I will actually pay some respect here. Trevor Birch got nothing but a load of shit off our fans. They thought he was trying to ruin our club. Yet Trevor Birch was the one who was pushing the David Clowes deal to go through as quick as possibly it possibly could. Now, I get it. There has been things that we've not agreed on. But David Clowes saving this club, he literally saved this club. Because imagine now what would be happening. If that had gone through, where would this club be right now? Back in administration, it would have been. It probably would have been straight in the pits.
Oh, we'd have been non-league.
We would have started again.
Do you know what, Simon? What really? I nearly swore then, but I'm not going to swear on the first podcast back.
It's fine.
Okay. What really pisses me off?
There you go.
Is the fact that? Okay, look. I said my piece when we first did a podcast together.
You did,
and we did that hour and a half special, didn't we? On my thoughts of administration when I was sort of pro rata working with the club and what have you. And you know what happened to me? I said there and then I didn't trust Quantuma. I didn't trust the way they were handling themselves professionally in front of all the staff. I saw it in my own eyes. I didn't trust certain directors. I didn't trust Chris Kirchner's. But I did. I thought I said to you, didn't I? It was all a load of absolute...
Gosh.
Yeah. And lo and behold, unfortunately, I had to leave my position at the football club. And it broke my heart, but I knew it all wasn't right. Full stop. You cannot trust people who acted like they did in those offices of our beloved football club, the way they did, and then have the balls to give a guy called Chris Kirchner 3 months to put a deal together when he, let's be honest, hadn't got a pot to win.
That whole setup, the whole Kirchner, Stretford, Rooney,
farce.
Do as the other guy.
Why do you think he's gone to Washington?
To get away from it all.
Absolutely.
They were never going to... He were never, ever going to stay
here. It was an absolute farce.
I told somebody Rooney would walk.
Mm.
I was right.
You were right. You're right. And I got ridiculed. You know, I got ridiculed by some people. And I got spoken to quite sternly by people at the football club. And I'll say this. I never trusted the situation. There were some great people on Twitter, the likes of, and I'll mention their names because they're due the you know, there's a lad called Andy who I think is called Derbyshire Live or Derby Five, who
Derbyshire, yeah,
who was spot on with some of the things he was saying and proving very, very informative. Ian Redfern,
yeah,
great guy. Always like his tweets. Very, very knowledgeable. I think he's an auditor and accountant himself.
He's a retired accountant. Yeah, he was part of Black and White together. You know, so I did had a lot of communication.
You
with
know, those two people got absolutely ripped apart by some Derby County people saying, you know, you just don't want the club to survive, blah blah blah. And all they were pointing out was accounting policy and the facts.
And the thing is, they did want the club to survive.
Of course they did.
And the reason why they pointed this out was because they knew if it was going to go ahead, it wouldn't survive. You know, what we know, how many months are we on now? June, July, August, September, October, November, December, January. You know, 8 months now. Is it eight months now?
Yep.
And what a ride we're going on at the minute with, you know, forget all the bollocks off the pitch. On the pitch now is where the talking points are. I know we've brought up the Kircher bollocks, but I've said sworn
you
twice
did.
Now, but it's I did, but I couldn't just let it skip over.
No,
you know what I mean. I couldn't let it be.
It's history.
You know, it's going to go. Is you know when people are writing books in the future. You know, Ryan Conway, he's writing a book. I wonder if this would be in it. What a chapter this is going to be.
It'll be a Netflix documentary in 18 months' time. Guarantee it.
It's insane. You know,
it is insane.
But I just think football in general needs to take a look at itself, you know, and I'm talking from Premier League downwards about how football is run. You know, this was supposed to be it's the most popular sport in the UK. We have got without doubt the best league, the Premier League, if you want to call it that, in the world. Everybody wants to play in the Premier League. The Championship, another great, you know, great league, great following. Yeah. It's going to be ruined by money. It's going to be ruined by state ownership. It's going to be ruined by billionaires.
I'm glad you've mentioned state ownership because you've just took the words out of my mouth. When you start getting Middle East states battling each other to buy not one, but to own two football clubs within the same royal family in a state, and that apparently that's allowed, you can bid for two. It's that football in general is going to faction, unfortunately, mate. And you know what? You're absolutely right. I said to you at the start of this, let's enjoy League One because it's a holiday. It's a holiday. It's a tour. We've got into the back of a camper van and we're touring a whole new division and it's been nothing but fun.
It is. And this is it. Exactly that. You know, we went on a 15-game unbeaten run and we lost. We lost at Wickham. Poor performance. Normally, everybody would be up in arms about that.
Yeah.
Everyone went, forget about it. We'll go again. Everybody is enjoying the football at the minute. I'm loving League One. I said 3 years ago, I think it was, just before Koku came in, I think it was, the best thing that can happen to this club is if we went down to League One and rebuilt. And this is what we're doing now. Under David Clowes, we are rebuilding slowly but surely. And don't get me wrong, I'd absolutely love it if we get promoted this season. I think we will do. But if we don't, I don't think it's going to be a major catastrophe. I think all it does, it gives us another season to get prepared, get ready, strengthen the squad even more. Because when you've got a manager like Paul Warren, who knows this league like the back of his hand. He will get us out of this league, whether it's this season or next. We'll be back in the Championship, and it is. Let's enjoy the ride. You know, the fans are finally enjoying the football on the pitch again. You know, we're not worried. You know, we are just enjoying every win, every loss, every draw, every kick of the football, every goal. And that's the main thing. That's why you go to watch football. And on that point, I will bring you to our next talking point. Something that I was shocked to see. Now, As I said, I'm not on Twitter. I've got no plans to go back on Twitter. However, what happens is Twitter is like, you know, that is the mothership, and it feeds the little ships like Facebook and Instagram and all that stuff. And I saw someone complaining about the amount of women and children in the South Stand that aren't helping create an atmosphere. Women, kids shouldn't be in there. You know, women are on the phone. Who cares? Who cares? They've paid their money to come and watch a Derby County Football Club game. They want to sit in the South Stand. If they want to be on the phone, let them be on the phone. It's their money. They've paid it. They can do what they want. Also, the South Stand is the cheapest stand to buy a ticket for.
Right.
If you want to take your wife, your girlfriend, your kids there, you're not going to want to spend a fortune, because it's a good 5-6 quid cheaper to go in the South Stand. Regarding the atmosphere, we like to brag we've got the best atmosphere, home or away, especially away, because we take great numbers. I saw someone try and make a comparison to 2013-14 season. South Stand was buzzing. It was new for a start. And one thing I will say is, I mean, I was a season ticket holder in the South Stand under Gary Rower, under Frank Lampard, under Philip Cocu. Finances took a hit, and now I go, you know, sporadically, but I watch every single game on Rams TV anyway. If I don't go, I was there at the Charlton game, I was in the North Stand. The difference between 2013-14 and now. One, we were flying high out of nowhere. Let's be honest. We were, what was it? We were near the bottom of the league when McLaren took over.
16th.
And he took us to the top of the table. Of course, the atmosphere is going to be better. You're playing good football. It's great to watch. It's exciting. It's entertaining. You've gone from a team that's been stuck in the Championship for however many years to a team that's potentially probably one of the best teams in the league and should be getting promoted. But another thing, what we used to do in the South Stand, and I've noticed the difference now, is you'd sing a song, and you'd sing that same song multiple times, over and over and over again, which is great, because it keeps noise. What's happened is, you'll sing one verse, two verse, stop. Try another song. One verse, two verse, stop. You go through the playlist of songs, you get to the end, and you get fed up. There is a singing section. I'm going off here. I'm on a tangent, Chris. Don't stop.
Go for it, Simon. Go on.
There is a singing section, you know, and it's generally that side that is just next to the netting where it splits the away fans. They sing. They like to have their little singing section. Sing and carry on. Don't stop. That's what you did on Saturday. That section did not stop singing. When we were in the Premier League before, it was the east southeast corner. That was all there was. That seems to have moved into that little bit of the South Stand. The rest of the South Stand were followed. The rest of the stadium were followed. But you cannot expect 25, 26, 27, 28,000 people all to sing along for 90 minutes when they're there to watch a football game. The South Stand does create an incredible atmosphere. And on Saturday was, I think, the first time in a long time I've heard it go for the full 90 minutes. It's different in midweek games. It always has been. Tuesday nights, Wednesday nights, whatever. There's always a bit of a lull. And it felt to me over the last couple of seasons, depending how the team were playing on the pitch, would depend how the crowd was. Sometimes it'd start off well, then go for a lull, and it wouldn't, unless we scored, or, you know, we'd then coast to sort of half time, start again second half. Or if someone put a big challenge in, that would get the crowd going. the end of the day, the players feed off the crowd, but the crowd feed off the players. That, for me, seems like it works. The atmosphere is great at Pride Park. We're not European football. European football go there with tifos and fireworks and all that shit. We can't get away with it in England. That's just fact. At the end of the day, come on, we've got a brilliant, brilliant set of fans. There's no denying that. You know, I think we average the highest attendance in League One every single week or every home game. Let's not stop taking pot shots at women and children in the south stands. What is it? Are we back in the 80s? Football is for everyone.
Simon, we're a community club. We're a small city community football club. It's family orientated. And as soon as Derby County lose that family orientation, our club dies, because they are the bread and butter and the gravy of our football club for the next 40, 50, 60 years, generation after generation, those kids. And you know, and this nonsense that there's still people, these dinosaurs, who are going on about ladies and women in football stands on the phones. So it's ludicrous. I will say this, is that it doesn't bother me who, what, where, and why you are there. If you're wearing black and white and you've paid your ticket money and you are wanting that football club to do well through good times or through bad times, you're there supporting them, then you have every right to be there. I'd love to know who the person was, Simon, and we're not going to put their name over this because it's not for us to say, and we don't want to get involved in the farce of a discussion anyway. I did tweet something jokingly about it, but I was actually saying it basically tongue-in-cheek about Paul Warne's Derby County bobble hats. But you're right, mate, and I think you're quite right to bring it up, and it's a subject that I think we should touch on another podcast, because I really did enjoy going into the studio, Radio Derby, with Claire Lambert. We shared the review show with Ed, and I thought she was unbelievably knowledgeable. Yeah. And Ed has other female pundits on his shows throughout the week who all have great knowledge. Emma Varnum as one. They know their football inside and out. Yeah. And they should have every right to be there and do what they want and say what they want. And if people have got an issue with that, don't go. Because I tell you what, if you don't go, there'll be someone who will snap up your ticket and they will go. You know, the South Stand has been, like you said, Simon, it's less than 10 years old? It's sort of...
It was the 5-0 it got opened up to the full away fans.
Yes.
Yes. 13-14, and then I think that was the first game they trialled it, and then they opened it up. Was it a couple of months after that, or whatever? Yeah. Or was it year after? I can't remember now.
I should know that, really, shouldn't I, when I was on the mic?
You should do, Chris.
Shit. Been that long. Well, I'm over you.
But the thing is, I mean, as a kid, as a child, you know, going there as a, what, 8, 9, 10-year-old, going to Pride Park, I wanted to be in that southeast corner because it was fun. It looked, you know, I was always a singer. I had my dad trying to shush me when swear words are coming up and whatnot. But it is where it is. But the thing is, when you're a kid, you see that. You see the thousands of fans. I don't know how many fans you can get in that south stand, but you see them chanting in there, and you want to be in there because of the atmosphere, but you want to join in. It doesn't matter if you're a kid. At the end of the day, as a kid, I didn't know all the songs, right? You know, as an adult now, being in the south stand, I still don't know all the songs, but I'll sing to what I got. You know, even in the north stand, I'll sing songs if it's there. And, you know, North Stand, a lot of the time, they'll just clap. Fair enough. That clapping still makes an atmosphere. Still makes something.
It does. It does.
And it doesn't matter. If you don't want to sing at a football game, you don't have to sing. At the end of the day, there's enough noise. It also helps if you get a decent set of away fans.
But the other thing is, Simon, probably the reason why the phones are out is because they're filming the incredible atmosphere, filming the incredible noise, and how amazed they are to be part of it.
Yeah, and then they're putting it on Twitter, TikTok.
And they're putting it on Twitter, promote it. Oh, yeah. Mate, there's some dinosaurs out there, and you know my thoughts about that. You know, I think people just need to open their eyes and just wake up, and you know, if they've got a real problem, if they want to see real problems when it comes to non so-called supporters in stands, you go to a Premier League club and you try and get a front row seat, first, second or third rows, you will not get through the tourists.
Exactly that. There was a lad, a Scouse lad, who was doing something. It was like a Liverpool TV thing or whatever. I don't know what it was. But he was saying about, you can't get a ticket now. It's all tourists.
Yeah, it's all tourists.
It's people that just want to come because they're in Liverpool or they're in Manchester.
Highest bidder. You can buy the tickets on anywhere around the world, can't you, on various ticket platforms, and you get a package including the flight, and they come over and they wear their half and half scarves and what have you. But the other argument of that is that they're putting money into clubs getting even richer. I don't want that at Derby County, and that will never happen. You give me black and white fans of you know, woman, child, man, you know, I do not give a damn.
No.
They're Derby County fans. They come through the door together. We sing together. We shout together. We fight together. We cry together. We are Derby County, and we will be a family club to the day that I die. And I don't ever want that to change. And them dinosaurs, if you listen to this show, please either stop listening to this show, because you're not going to be popular with our opinion on here.
Yeah, you can carry on listening to the show. You just might not like what you are here.
But... Oh, yeah. Sorry. Yeah. Yeah. Oh, sorry. Sorry. But, yeah. I was on an angry keel there, so I'm...
Yeah, no, but yeah.
I'm better now.
I just go back to last season when everybody was behind the club. It didn't matter who you were. There was none of this. Oh, should be this, that, and the other. At the end of the day, we create an atmosphere at Pride Park.
An amazing atmosphere.
You know, that's... The Army players have come here, whether it's opposition players, whether it's players that have transferred here, want to come here because they want to come and play at Pride Park in front of our fans, because that's how good they are, because they've played here before and they've heard it, seen it and done it all before, and they want to be doing it week in, week out, because our fans, majority of them, are brilliant. The atmosphere at Pride Park, majority of the time, is brilliant. Doesn't matter who you are, you don't judge anybody by what they are doing at the football. They've paid the money, they've put money into this club, they've come to see the game, whether they watch 90 minutes or watch 5 minutes, it does not matter. They are there to see Derby County and support Derby County Football Club.
Here.
Right. Now, normally what we do here is preview Barnsley, but we're not going to do that because we're going to do it on Thursday. So what we will do now, also thank you, I know there's only a couple of you today, but thank you to John and Mark for getting in touch, getting involved. Appreciate that. So we will do the quiz questions now, the quiz
answers. Oh, yes.
We almost forgot about that, didn't we? So let's see how much attention you were paying, Christopher. So then, first question was, Harvey White made his first start for Derby. What number was he wearing?
I think it was 23.
Oh, good effort. Good effort. It was number 23. And whose shot was handled for the penalty?
Oh.
Now, if you'd seen Tom Barkhuizen's Instagram post, I think it was Bart, yeah. Or was it? No, it was the other player's post. There was two players involved, and one of them did have a shot.
Oh, do you know what? I've got a confession here, Simon. I went to the toilet.
Oh,
come put me out of my misery.
You and your bladder. It was Conor Hourihan.
Oh dear.
Him and Barkhuizen were battling for it. I think it was the picture was on Hourihan's Instagram of Barkhuizen and Hourihan battling over it. And I think Barkhuizen put, nice tackle, mate. So that was quite funny. So yeah, the next one was, there was four yellow cards in the game. Who was booked for Derby?
I know this one. And I do. And I was quite surprised. Mr. Barkhuizen.
Yes, you're right.
Barkhuizen.
It was Tom Barkhuizen. Hausen. However you see it.
How many other cards is he on this? I wonder how many he's had. It can't be that many.
I don't think he's on that many. And final, the last question there. Erin Cashin scored his first goal at Pride Park. But who did he score his first senior league goal or senior goal against, professional goal against?
Well, he scored his first actual goal for Derby County in a friendly, and that was against Notts County. But his actual first senior professional goal was on the coast, and it was against the Tangerine Army, I believe.
It was. It was that last game of the season. Well, was it last away game? Yeah. we've been relegated. We took everyone up. We pretty much filled Blackpool's ground out, didn't we, on bank holiday?
We did.
Was it 2-1 in the end? 2-0?
2-0, wasn't it?
Ebiowe and Cashin both got their first goals, and Roo saved a penalty. God, I don't miss that, man. And the commentary then. So I'll play I'll play the commentary again. What I'll do, I'll play it. I'll play it again and then.
Go on.
Let's do it.
All the way through to Johnston. Oh, it's a back pedaling. Chance, open goal. Kazim, goal! Kazim from 20 yards!
That was the clip from good friend of the show, Ed Dawes. Who was the goal? Well, we know it was Colin Cousin Richard, but who was he scoring against?
I don't know. Simon, do you know what? I've been thinking about this one, and I think the rant about the South Stand has completely put me out. Go on, put me out of my misery.
Well, let's
can I have a wild guess?
Go on.
So it's Championship last year.
Kazim goal, Porton goal. It was
Coventry.
Oh no! I'll play out of misery. I'm going to play the rest of the clip.
Go on.
Absolute howler from Kipra and Johnston, and Kazim Richards threads it into the empty net. They were well out of goal, and Derby have a bit of luck. 58 minutes gone. It's Derby County 1, West Bromwich Albion 0. Ball is with.
It was the Boxing Day game.
Wow.
1-0. If you remember the goal, it was where there was a bit of... I think we got absolutely outplayed through the whole game. And then, I think, as you said, Kipra tried a back pass to Johnston, who was miles out of his goal. He fluffed his kick, and Kazim Richards took one touch and started.
That's
it
right. It was... Yeah, it was a volley. It was a side heel volley, wasn't it?
Something like that, yeah.
Yeah, class, yeah.
So that's the quiz. That's the quiz.
I love that.
It's good, isn't it? So you guys that have listened, see, there was tactics behind that. See, you put the questions at the start and the answers at the end. Let us know how you got on. When we post this, I'll be posting it on. Chris will be posting it on Twitter, so you need to follow Chris because, as I said, I'm not on Twitter anymore. Which is DCFC_CMH, and he's going to change his name so it says Chris-TheRamsRightPodcast.
I'll change it.
So he'll be posting on Twitter. I'll be posting it on Facebook on my Facebook page, RamsRightPodcast. I'll be posting it on Instagram, which I have set up a new one now, just because I've got stuff on my personal one. It's just going to get mixed up. So my new Instagram where you can follow me is the_RamsRighter_podcast. Or failing that, I'll also probably not this, but the YouTube stuff that we do on a Thursday, I'll post on TikTok. And again, that's actually the Rams Writer podcast, all one word. So that's the show, guys. I hope you enjoyed it. It is a bit new. We've had a bit of a rant. We've had a few stats, actually, haven't we? It's Chris and his knowledgeable stats. That's why I have you on here.
I know. I feel as if I'm worthy now.
But yeah, I hope you guys enjoyed the show. Please remember to like, share, and obviously subscribe to my YouTube channel. Just go to YouTube, look for Rams Right Podcast. And we shall see you Thursday. Chris, I should see you Thursday as well. It's been an absolute pleasure. It's been great to be back together again and doing the show again. In fact, Chris, thank you for being there for me, is what I'm going to say.
Oh, you've, mate, it's all right.
And for pushing me and not letting me give it all in. But yeah, and it's been tough. But we've got there.
Simon, you're on the up. That's the most important thing. We're on the up.
Very true. So yeah,
just like the football club.
Exactly. Just like the football club. So thank you guys, as always, for listening. As I've said, like, share, and subscribe. We shall see you Thursday. Tune into YouTube. Well, I'll post it on Thursday. It'll be ready Friday. We'll see you then. And as always, come on, Derby.